5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Circus! Afro
Welcome to The Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a dad
and a mom
talk what it's...
I never get it right.
Talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus. See, I've gone crazy. That's why.
Oh, right. In our circus.
In our circus.
We are not professionals.
Nope.
The only credentials we have are four kids. So do your research and find what works for you.
Hello, fellow ringleaders. I am your host, Barry Ricks. And with me, I have my beautiful, wonderful wife, Crystal Ricks.
Who is also a host.
Who's also, she's my co-host.
And we have four kids, 7, 5, 3, and 1.
All having birthdays soon.
Yes, we have four kids, but three kids have birthdays in the same week. So we're still trying to figure out.
Yeah, same week in August.
What are we going to do?
The 12th, the 14th, and the 16th. And our anniversary is on the 18th of August.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
Christmas.
Our anniversary always gets put on the back burner.
Yep.
It's always our kids'
We've
birthdays.
We celebrated once.
And we celebrated once in the 8 years we've been, 9 years we've been married.
Well, now everyone's like, what's real celebrated? Because we said it like, real celebrated.
Like, we went for a cabin up in the woods for a weekend.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Overnight, not a weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was just overnight. It was only like...
But it was awesome.
It was only like a full day, but...
Anyway. We digress.
Yes. So, welcome. And we will start by talking about the stories of the week.
Woo!
Woo! Stories! And,
Of the week!
So, we talk about things that happened in our crazy life, and...
I have to share first.
Oh, go
for it. It made me laugh so hard.
Going.
We went to drop something off at someone's apartment, and while we're walking, we saw... our three-year-old looked up and she goes, oh, a bald eagle! And we look up and there's a fat pigeon.
But it was a huge pigeon, though.
It was huge.
It's like...
But she was like, a bald eagle! And all of us were like, what, where?
Oh, it's a pigeon.
Fat pigeon.
Fat pigeon.
That's all.
That's
next.
All. But no, that's good. So
it was adorable.
Something this week that we got to do that we haven't been able to do lately is we went out on a date.
Woo-woo.
So, and something that we love to do at a date is dinner and a movie because
we like to eat and sit and watch things.
That's right. But so that we're determining what movie we wanted to see. And there were a couple good movies out right now that we wanted to see, but we're just like, oh, what do we want to see? And we're like, we would really...
Barry wanted to see Jurassic Park, and I wanted to see Inside Out.
I wanted to see Inside Out as well, but it was the whole thing like, do we want to take our kids to go see it type of thing.
Right.
So, but we determined this is a movie that we want to enjoy, so we don't want to have to wrangle... every single child in to watch the movies.
We were so close to taking all of them, except for our baby.
Except for the baby, the 1-year-old.
Because it's a cartoon and it looks so cute.
But we are glad that we went by ourselves. And it's a fantastic movie, by the way. You should all go see it. But movies nowadays, is it really worth it to take your kids to movies? I mean...
No.
Because you're paying... Okay, 2 adult tickets is expensive enough, and you have to throw, you know, in our case right now, 3 children's tickets. And then on top of that, of course, you're going to have to get kid treats and snacks and drinks. And, like, by the time you're done paying for anything, it's like $80 just to go to a movie.
It's outrageous. And it's going to come out in video that you can get for $5 or the red box.
A red box for
just like 3 months later.
$1.50.
What is wrong with us?
So we determined that We're just going to rent Inside Out when it comes out. And we'll probably purchase it because that one...
Yeah, it was cute.
It was really good.
And we'll just act like we hadn't seen it.
That's right. And so we'll watch that with the kids together. And we'll enjoy it just as much as we enjoyed it in the theater.
No. We enjoyed it more in the theater because we didn't have to deal with kids.
That's right. Well, in
when we watch it with our kids, we're going to have to be like, sit down.
Well, in the comfort of our own home, it's okay. Because when you're in a movie theater and you're trying to get your kids to watch the movie, I think you're...
most stressful thing in the world.
You're more worried about other people than you are yourselves. Like, it's just like, oh, you know, it's okay. Let's just watch the movie. No, you're just like, sit down. You're, you know, in your mind, you're like, you're bugging all these people.
And then you get those people that just don't care. And let their kids do whatever.
Yeah.
And it's annoying.
Yeah.
I'm judging. Because I try.
How dare you?
Speaking of judging,
tell me about your movie experience.
Our town does the free Lego movie. Free summer kids movies. And so, basically, you go to the movie theater on Tuesdays, and they show a free movie. So, last week was Lego Movie, and for some reason, I was like, hey, we all love this movie. Let's go with me alone, with my four children, one that is under two. And we get there and I kept him awake. Usually he takes a nap pretty like late morning. And I kept him awake thinking he's just going to fall right asleep in my arms. And he was a monster. I know. Well, what the problem is before the movie started, because we got there like 30 minutes early to make sure we got seats. And I was like, hey, guys, run up and down the stairs before it starts. Get your energy out. So they were running and playing, all of them. And when the movie started, the two-year-old still wanted to be running and playing.
Yep.
And when I didn't let him, he was freaking out. And I happened to be sitting by my friend, and I didn't know what to do. I was already in the aisle, like, trying to calm my baby down, and he just wouldn't calm down. And so I was like, okay, he's making a scene. And when I get stressed, I don't handle it very well. I'm like, And so I just walked out of the theater and text my friend. I'm like, well.
With the baby.
Yeah. I walked out of the screen, not the whole theater. But I just text my friend and I'm like, I guess you're watching my kids. I'll be out here. If they're bad, just send them out. But then I was like, all those people sitting by us have no idea she's with me. And it looks like I just dumped my kids and left. And I have this like fear that someone's going to call the social services on me, because I've had some friends that are great parents that have had them called on them. So it's like always in the back of my head. I'm like, someone's going to call because I just left my kids in the theater, but they don't know that she's watching them. So it was like I needed to take some antacids after that one. I didn't really, but it felt like I needed to.
Yeah.
So
don't do that again.
Free does not necessarily mean
good.
Good.
or a good experience.
Yeah, so we saw the one that I really wanted to see, and that's probably it for the rest of the summer.
Maybe.
No, it is. I'm not going back.
Oh, you mean with the kids? I thought you meant with us.
No, the free summer movie.
Oh, the free movie.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. Unless I have to pay for a babysitter to go to something free with my older kids. And that seems counterproductive.
Yes. But you and I will still go see movies.
Yes.
Of course. All right. Cool. What else, babe? What else?
Don't you have things?
I don't have as many things as you do. But if you want me to go, speaking of kids, I'm apparently not patient with other people's kids. And what I mean, it's not like I snap at them or I, you know, yell at them or anything, but...
You just don't like kids.
I love kids.
No, you don't.
But it's just like...
At a distance.
Like, we went out of town and we were trading off watching our kids while the other person went into a church building. And so what we did is we take all of our stuff and we go into the gym and let our kids run around. But when I went in there, I was the first one to watch the kids. There was more kids in there without parents, no parents in sight.
And there was a 13-year-old, 9 and 7.
Yeah. And so it's just like, oh, and so Like, they're just all of a sudden like, hey, there's other people here. Oh, they brought stuff, too. So let me dig in your stuff and grab all your stuff and break your stuff.
By break our stuff, he means they broke the plastic wiffle bat from the Dollar Tree.
They still broke our stuff.
And the free frisbee we got at your Aviation Day program.
Still broke our stuff.
I know. You came back and you're holding the bat and you're like, who did this?
I was mad. Broke my stuff. I don't care if it's from the Dollar Tree. It was mine.
Okay. It might have been from Dollar General. That's a step up.
But still, it's mine and it's different if my kids break it because it's their stuff. But when some random kid just starts playing with your things without really asking and breaking your stuff, it kind of gets under my skin a little bit.
See, I think I'm more patient with other people's kids than I am my own. Because when I was in the gym with those kids, they were wild, but I, like, got up and I was playing with them. I probably threw the baseball that broke that baseball bat. But then when we leave, I was like, come on, kids, let's go, to my own. I was like, what's wrong with me?
The truth comes out.
Like, hey, you're not patient with our kids either.
Didn't say I was.
That is a struggle we both have.
Yes, patience. Patience is a virtue that we both strive to obtain
one day.
That's right. So tell us about your stories about being patient with your kids or other so people's hard. Kids. So I am trying to be better with others' kids as well as my own. But don't break my stuff.
Well, speaking of patience, I don't know if that really transitions in the right way, but a few weeks ago, I think it was last podcast or 2 weeks ago, I was talking about how I had this wonderful epiphany about how I put my phone away because I wanted to be actively involved with my kids. And so I was spending time with a mother who has older kids. They're like preteen, teenager age. And I was telling her, I kind of wanted validation from her to be like, wow, good job, because she's an awesome mom. So I was telling her about my epiphany and how I put my phone away. And from now on, I was going to enjoy my children and watch them, like,
do stuff. Like, when you're at the park,
yeah, and I
watch your kids and interact with them instead of just being on your phone the whole time.
And I mentioned, like, at McDonald's, no one watches their kids play. And this lady, who I thought was going to be like, right on, Crystal, she was like, ugh. But my kids were kids before cell phones, and McDonald's is so boring. I wish I would have had that when I was your age with a mom or with my kids. And then another mom who was there was older kids, and she's like, yeah, it was so boring. I always brought a book. And I was like, wait, you're ruining my aha moment.
You're not supposed to say that.
You're supposed to say I'm awesome. But it's just funny how no matter what generation you came from,
yeah,
even if you didn't have technology, sometimes parenting can be a little boring.
Yeah.
So do what you want. I won't judge you if you're on your phone.
There you go. I might.
But I'll try not to.
There you go. So, as I said, we went out of town the other day, and we talked about our big road trip to Alabama and how we created an awesome CD for our road trip and lots of songs that we all enjoy, you know, kids' songs. And
Sophia the First.
And it was fun. But it's the only CD our kids want to listen to now. And it's like starting to get old.
3 weeks later.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't want to listen to this anymore. Like, and there's certain songs that I dislike more than others as well. So if that song comes on, I'm like, skip. You know, get to the ones I at least can tolerate now.
I know. And I mentioned how, I think last week, there was a time when our kids only wanted to listen to Everything Is Awesome.
Yeah.
And from Lego Movie. Then we'd skip to the Barbie Princess Super Power Girl. Barbie Superhero. Back to Everything Is Awesome. Back to Barbie. So now whenever those songs come on, I'm like, everything is not awesome.
it's not.
Yeah, so I've actually done something that I never do, and now we listen to the radio.
Weird.
I know. We never listen to the radio. So I'm like, but I just need something different.
But we have a new radio station in town that plays the greatest hits of all time. So it's like all the songs on the greatest hits lists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just like the greatest country hits. It's the greatest hits of like all genres. Yeah,
so it's fun.
And so it's really fun because they're playing songs that you grew up with, that you loved, and even new songs.
It's not the Lego Movie.
Yeah, so.
And it's not Barbie.
So it's awesome. Ba-dum-bum.
It is nice.
So.
Nice.
So that's, yeah, old. CD's getting old.
Right. You are a horrible transitioner.
What?
So I'm going to horribly transition.
So I perfectly...
Spiders!
I perfectly went into my story right after you were done. There was no pause. You should have just, boom, went into it. And then, no, now you have to try to make me look
spiders.
Bad.
Spiders! I was at the park.
Spider-Man.
I was at the park with my kids and some friends. And all of a sudden, my 7-year-old comes running toward me. And he says, I just got bitten by a spider. And I totally didn't believe him at first, because I would have thought that you would have been like, but he was like, I just got bitten. Like, totally nonchalant. And I was a horrible parent. I was like, no, you didn't.
Whatever.
I know. I should believe him, but he was like, no, I did. And I was like, no, you didn't, because I couldn't see it. But then he goes, look, and he pushes down on his hand, you know, where he can,
yeah.
What is that, like, see it? But he pushes down on his hand and kind of squeezes it. And all of a sudden, I see two little puncture marks on his hand that I didn't see without him squeezing it. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I believe you because I see it. I know.
No faith in you.
I know. It was horrible. And then so I was like, well, how does it feel? And he's like, it burns and it hurts. And I was like, oh, my gosh, my kid's going to die. And I was like, how did you get bitten by a spider?
We're
going
to have to amputate his arm.
And I was like, how did you get bitten? He's like, well, I saw a cool spider and I tried to catch it.
Because we teach our kids not to be afraid of bugs. But so he was really not afraid of it and tried to catch the spider with his hand.
Yeah, and then my friend was like, oh, let's look it up. So she gets online, and you know how it is when you look things up.
It's always the worst case scenario.
So she pulls up this website. She's like, which one was it? And she's having him scroll through, and it's like Black Widow, Brown Recluse, all the poisonous ones, like, in Australia and other things.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm sure it was. And it was like a jumping spider.
But still, yeah.
I mean, my brain was going through worst case scenario. And so I text Barry and I'm like, Grayson just got bitten. And then Barry's like, you got online. You're like, okay, texting me. Now, if he starts swelling or if he has like shortness of breath,
safe.
If he passes out, then you need to go straight to the hospital. And so every 5 minutes, I'd be like, Grayson, come here. Let me check your hand. Is there any swelling? How's the pain? It was horrifying. None of our kids have ever been bitten before.
By a spider.
Besides, like, mosquitoes. But it was so scary. I really was just waiting for him to just drop. Maybe not drop dead, but just drop out. Pass out.
Drop out of high school because he got bit by a spider.
If that ever happens, I'm going to blame the spider. But it was horrible. There's things that you just never picture happening.
Yeah.
I mean, you picture it. That's like your worst nightmare.
Yeah.
But it happened. It was scary. But like an hour later, it looked fine.
Yeah.
So no big deal.
And it's been several days and he's still alive, people.
Still alive and his arm's still connected.
Yeah.
So we're good.
All right. Sweet.
Speaking of horrible stories.
Okay.
I have not shared this one with you.
Oh, new story to me.
It is. I shouldn't share it online, but I mean on the show, but I'm going to. We went to a store in town, which is not known for its very clean bathroom.
Ugh.
They have one of those, what do you call it, unisex bathrooms where it's like for everybody?
Yeah.
Just one bathroom.
It's a single bathroom.
Yeah. So, of course, right when we get to the store, Jay, our 5-year-old's like, I have to go potty!
Of course.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, not in this store, no! But I had to take her, so I left Grayson out to look at the toys, because it's a small store, I felt safe. And I took the whole entourage with me, the 5, the 3, and the 1-year-old. And we go into the bathroom, and the door is tricky. You have to, like, use both hands to pull it closed. So I set Jackson down to pull it closed, and I'm shoving it,
closing it.
Opposite shoving. Yeah. Pulling really hard. And then I turn around, and Jackson has his hands in the urinal that is clogged, And so that's not water. It's like bright yellow pee.
Oh.
And I start screaming bloody murder, like, get your ass out of there! What are you doing? And so I pick him up. I'm like, don't touch anything. And he starts to, like, freak out because I am not containing myself.
Because you're freaking out, yeah.
And I go to the sink and I turn on the water and there's no soap.
Of course there's not.
And so I, like, scrub his hands and I'm just sitting there holding him. And, of course, I took out our hand sanitizer out of my bag. So I'm just holding him by his hands like, this is the grossest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And, I mean, this bathroom is nasty. Like, oh, it's so gross. So I'm waiting for Jay. And then I get snappy with her, like, hurry up and pee. I've got to get him clean. And so we run out of there and I go to the aisle. And luckily, although I wouldn't have cared, I probably would have popped an open bottle of hand sanitizer open. But there was like a tester one and I like drown his hands in hand sanitizer and then mine and all the kids. I'm like, get over here right now. We're going to all sanitize. He didn't even touch you, but it's so gross. So it was.
At least he didn't put it in his mouth.
Oh, I know. I think, oh, that's choking me up a little. Like barf is
that's
coming
gross.
Up. It was horrifying. Just the worst thing. I'd rather have him be bitten by a spider.
I know, right?
Than ever see that. I guess it's good that I saw it happen.
Yes.
Because I might not have known and he would have been like touching me and feeding me candy like he always likes to do.
Oh, gross.
So anyway.
Well, I'm glad you
caught
it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Hey, potty stories from us. Who would have thought?
It was horrible.
So.
That's it.
That's it?
It's good enough for me.
All right. So what we wanted to talk about this week was we've had people recommend this documentary to us to watch, and we're just like, nah, well, it was on our queue forever on Netflix, and then finally we watched it, and it was very interesting.
Now, usually, I don't like watching documentaries that are, like, social.
Yeah.
Like, social implication ones, because, or, like, people are always like, did you see that? The documentary about black or killer whales.
Yeah,
the blackfish.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? Because people are horrible.
They're horrible.
I hate people.
SeaWorld should be, die.
I know, like those kind of things where they just are so convincing that you just totally grasp onto what they're trying to say. I hate those kinds of documentaries.
Yeah.
But we've had bunches of friends telling us about this one, and we caved.
And we watched it, and it's called Fed Up. And it's all about childhood obesity, and which is an important subject, but it was interesting because to see what they talked about, their causes of childhood obesity, their causes that cause, but there were no solutions in the whole thing.
That's true. It kind of ended sadly.
Yeah, it was just like, it's just like, there.
And kids are still fat.
There is no hope for our children. They will all get fat and die.
I know, because they gave a statistic. It's not, we don't have it, but it was like, in two decades.
And it was in 2050, it was
like 98%. It was huge.
It was like one, it would be, it said like one out of three.
I thought it was
no, bigger. No, it was.
It was like everyone.
It was like 95% of all children.
All children are going to be
are going to be obese.
Not overweight, but just obese.
And we're like, whoa.
Yeah, and then it ends the film, and you're like, but what do we do?
Yeah, there's like no solution there. So you had all these doctors on there talking about all the evil implications of why children are obese, and they had, you know, a bunch of reasons why, but
yeah, because they kept saying, like, the whole first half of the thing, they're like, the myth of eating less and exercising more. And I'm like, how is that a myth? So it was really confusing.
Yeah.
Well, not confusing, but.
But we're going to give some statistics, talk about our opinions about things, and we understand that everyone is different. Everyone's bodies are different, and everyone's bodies handle certain substances, different foods and so forth. But the number one thing that they talked about that was the main cause of childhood obesity was sugar.
Evil sugar.
Because it was interesting, they talked about how in the 70s, in 1977, how they decided that they needed to do something about obesity, and so they created low fat and, you know, low calorie things. But when, and even that one of the doctors said, but when you take the fat out of food, it tastes awful.
It
tastes like cardboard. It's just disgusting. So in order to make low fat food taste good, they added more sugar to it to, you know, make it, you know, taste good. And it was really interesting because they showed some of the low fat products, like they compared low fat granola bars to regular granola bars, and like it was only like 10 calories less, but it had the same amount of sugar in it.
Yeah.
And like low fat or reduced fat Oreos, you know, lower calories but same amount of sugar.
And then they were comparing things like fruit snacks to like health food granola bars and stuff, yeah, like that, where you think you're choosing the better option, but then they show and they have the exact same kind of sugar.
The same sugar amount. So so that was really interesting to see, like, wow, what we're really eating. But it was kind of like the whole program was like, evil sugar, you should never eat sugar ever. And
you are making your children addicted.
And so, and yeah, but we'll get into a little more of that. Let's share some.
I thought you liked it though.
I liked the documentary, and I liked some of the things that had to say, but the thing is, we talked about this, is it comes down to the parents.
Yeah,
it comes down to the parents, not the children. The parents are buying the food. The parents are feeding the kids this. You know what? When they're like,
That one guy, he's going to eat it everywhere else anyway.
Yeah, he's going to, yeah, one parent was just like, we'll just have it anyway because he's going to get it somewhere else anyway. Would you say that to a drug addict?
I know, that's the kind of parents are like, give you cigarettes because you're going to smoke.
You're
going to
smoke eventually, so might as well smoke here. No, parents have that responsibility. And every single parent in this documentary bought the, and it's just like, and it was interesting, the blame was never on the child, and the blame was never on the parent.
It was all on the government.
It was all, well, not necessarily the government, but evil food corporations.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, they have an agenda, and their agenda is to make money. That's business.
That's every business.
But you're the parent buying the food for these kids. They're not buying the food. They're not working and buying these things. You, as the parent, are buying these things. So
now, you say this, but what was horribly ironic is that we're both watching this show.
I know, it was awesome.
We're both watching this show, and we're like, like, our reactions were like, no. What?
Well, we're, you know, just like, wow, that's a lot of sugar.
I know, it was crazy. And then our 3-year-old came out, and she was like, I want a snack.
And we didn't have anything.
We are out of snacks until
out of
tomorrow.
Our kids' regular snacks. But I happened to bring home some donuts from work, and I'm just like, just eat the last donut.
Yeah, you're like, eat a donut. And she's like,
And she grabs it and starts eating it, and then we just look back to this show that we're watching.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah.
And we're like, oh, yeah.
We just...
Whoops.
We're like feeding the addiction. Like, wow, it really is terrible.
But we talked about things we could do different with our kids. We ourselves could definitely eat a lot better and more healthy. But it's so hard. But it's our choice as the parents to eat healthier, to exercise more, to help our kids eat that way. Because if we're not doing it, we're just, you know, hey, kids, let's, you know, gorge ourselves on sugar all day and sit around and do nothing. Of course, that's going to result in unwanted health.
Well, what's funny, though, is we went to the mall the day after we watched the documentary. And we're sitting at, they have like a playground inside the mall, and we're sitting there. And almost every parent sitting around had like a 32-ounce drink or was eating something, you know,
full of
snacky
sugar
and unhealthy. And I couldn't help but think, like, evil corporations. They've got us all under their thumb.
We're all addicted.
I know, it's Like, it all of a sudden felt disgusting. Usually I'm like, I have my drink and, you know, we're just chilling. But I was like, we're all addicted.
Yeah.
We are all, it's like, they've got us. It really felt, I really felt what they were trying to say. Yeah. Like,
no, they made a lot of valid points. But my issue with the thing was the documentary is that they made a bunch of valid points, an evil corporation this, our kids are getting fat, fat, fat. Where's the solution? There wasn't a single thing.
Well, no, because they have the eating challenge to eat better.
Okay.
And then they
did,
want you.
They did issue a challenge at the end of the video.
They do. They want you to write to your schools, write to your government about fixing the problem. But to me,
but it comes down to the parents.
I mean, I think it's great that the government is trying to, like Michelle Obama with her Just Move program, and schools are trying, with my finger quotes here, to make healthier lunches. But that's the thing is, like in the video, they're we keep calling it a video. How old are we?
What? It was a video.
It was a
video documentary. It wasn't even a DVD. It was streaming.
But anyway, so, so they're complaining because cafeterias aren't feeding the kids healthy. But my thing is how many kids are going to pick the healthy options?
They're not going to pick, well, and
or
and,
eat it.
Well, and they made that point too. Like one lunch lady was saying, you know, we had a healthy choice meal for the kids. And she said, like, out of 330 kids, only
20. It's like
23. Like, yeah, only like 20 plus of them picked the healthy choice.
But to me, even if they got rid of all the unhealthy stuff and gave them, like, here, have a salad, only choice,
no one would eat
it. Kids are not going to eat that.
Kids are not going to eat a salad.
I mean, some kids will eat salad. Some. But like, let's broccoli, raw broccoli, or, you know, just, yeah. That's the hard thing is, if we already expect the government to help pay, especially for like low income families, the government feeds those children. It is necessary, but they have to feed them things the kids are going to eat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They can't let them starve.
I just don't know how I feel about that. It's so hard. But like you said, to us, the parents have to change.
Yeah.
And we are totally preaching to the choir because we need food.
Yeah, well, and we need
I love it.
We need a change too. And maybe the video did a lot of enlightening for that for us.
I know.
But let's share some statistics.
Okay.
So, and all these are about either about obesity or about sugar.
Okay, and these are off of the fedupmovie.com.
Yeah, fedupmovie.com. So the actual, their statistics.
Stats from the movies.
So, a 20-ounce bottle of soda contains the equivalent of approximately 17 teaspoons of sugar.
Yeah.
So a lot of sugar there. In the United States, it's estimated that 93 million Americans are affected by obesity, which is basically a third of the country.
That's crazy. One soda a day, just one, increases a child's chance of obesity by 60%.
Now, what does that mean for an adult, though? Because
I don't want to know.
Because, like, I drink way more than one soda a day, and I need to be better at that, people, I understand. But, like, what's my chance of being obese? Like, I'm not overweight at all, but
you're a toffee.
I'm a toffee, as they said in the movie. I'm a
thin on the outside.
Thin on the outside, fat on the inside.
Because they're saying even if you're thin on the outside,
doesn't mean you're healthy.
Yeah, you could have a huge percentage of belly fat.
Yeah.
And it just fits well right in you. So, anyway.
So, but no, so, yeah. This one?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to just read all of them? No, okay. So, kids watch an average of 4,000 food-related ads every year. So, that they say at least 10 a day.
Ooh.
So,
that's why I'm glad
we don't have TV. We have Netflix, and they don't have commercials, so that works.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a product placement, but that's not the same.
Yeah, here's the one I love. In 2012, Americans consumed an average of 765 grams of sugar every 5 days, or 130 pounds of sugar in a year.
That's a lot of sugar.
That's crazy!
A lot of sugar.
We have the, what is it, 5-pound bag in our cupboards? Can you imagine 130 pounds?
Yeah, that'd be insane.
That thing is huge.
Is, yeah.
I can't even imagine. I can't picture it.
Mm-hmm. So it says that more than 9 million adolescents, children, and teens between 6 and 19 years old are considered overweight.
Mm-hmm. Now, overweight is just below obese. Like, there is a difference.
Yes. And then it will take, this was interesting, because they also talked a lot about, like, you know, because they talked about how, well, you just need to burn the calories that you eat.
That's what people are saying.
That's what people say.
A myth.
And it's interesting because the statistic here, it says it will take a 110-pound child 75 minutes of bike riding to burn off the calories in one 20-ounce bottle of soda.
And what kid's going to be riding their bike for an hour and a half?
An hour and 15 minutes just to burn off one 20-ounce soda.
Yeah, I don't have time to do that.
Yeah, and most kids aren't doing that, especially if it's not summertime.
If you don't want to be fat, you just have to eat vegetables and nothing else. That's how I felt it was.
Yeah. Well, and the one statistic that they have on their website, but they never really addressed in the video, because, and we even brought it up in our conversation afterwards, is this one. It says, almost 45% of overweight or obese children ages 10 to 17 are poor. So that's really interesting because, you know, you go into that because you're the one that brought it up.
I don't even remember what we said.
Well, it's just like,
I wasn't going to read that statistic.
Well, okay, no matter what people say, and the movie said it too, and I totally disagree with them, eating healthier is more expensive. Okay? And they showed like this, you know, this menu, you know, this fast food, feed the family for fast food, and it costs, you know, $23 or something like that, and it has this many calories, but then they're like, but if you feed them this chicken and four slices of bread and, you know, some vegetables.
It's like a full course meal.
And it's like, this was only $13. First of all, that's not going to feed a lot of people what they showed. And second of all,
where are you buying your groceries?
A whole chicken would cost you, depending where you buy it and the size of it. But, like, that could almost be $13 or more. Like, and they're saying, like, a whole chicken, and they only showed 3-4 slices of bread. That's not counting buying a whole loaf of bread. You can't just buy 4 slices. And vegetables and fruit are expensive.
Yes, they are.
So, I can buy 5 apples for more, and that would cost me more expensive than buying
our whole meal at Sam's Club.
A pound an apple, depending on the apple, like, if you can get it for cheap, $1 a pound. And so that's like 5 apples is, you know, $3 or so, right? So you can get a bag of cookies or 2 bags of chips or a big bag of chips, and those last a lot longer than 5 apples would.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, and we would like feedback. I mean, do you feel it's more expensive to eat healthy or more difficult? It's definitely a lot easier to eat unhealthy, that's for sure.
So basically, I feel like you're back to blaming large corporations. Or are we blaming farmers?
I don't know.
It's all the farmers' fault. Lower your prices.
Well, it's just, I guess in a way, big corporations could be blamed for that because just the pricing and everything, but and
darn you and your cheap prices.
And it's just justifying. It comes down to just justifying. Yeah. Like, I'm not eating healthy because it's expensive. But when you're feeding a family of 6, you know, 2 adults and 4 kids, feeding them can be expensive. So sometimes you often,
like, we eat steak every night.
So sometimes you often go for the cheaper choice of cheaper and quantity. So whether that's like hot dogs,
a very cheesy noodle casserole,
or chicken nuggets, or something like that, or other things. Sometimes you're on a budget, and it's easier to eat unhealthy than it is healthy. In my opinion, I would love for one of our listeners to prove me wrong. And, you know, send me to an article, post an infographic or something. It's something that says you can do this, but, you know, like a gallon of milk where we live is like almost $4.
Okay, but the thing that we talked about was it is cheaper if you're eating the correct portion sizes. Because we picture like a load, as we've said before, a Rick's size.
A Rick's portion size.
Yeah. Like, really, one chicken breast, which we would consider one chicken breast for each of us, you know, is really, that should feed about 3 people.
No.
Yes, it should.
No, it shouldn't.
A portion size is a deck of cards.
Like, well, it's supposed to be like the palm of your hand.
No, it's a deck of cards for chicken.
Well.
Says Weight Watchers.
Says poop.
Anyway, we've talked this out of.
But it was still a very interesting and fascinating documentary.
It makes you feel so guilty.
It makes you feel really guilty.
If
that's
you want
for
to feel
sure.
like a horrible parent,
especially
that's killing
as
your
a
children,
parent, yeah,
watch it.
It's just like you're killing your children with sugar.
Yeah. So check out the website. It's interesting.
Yeah, we'll have a link in the show notes, but it's a fedupmovie.com. If you have Netflix, it's on Netflix right now, and you can.
And it's PG. So it's clean. And,
oh, yeah.
No language.
Totally.
No...
You could watch it with your kids, you know.
If you want
I mean,
to feel horrible.
There's like emotional moments, I guess, though, because, you know, some of the because they interview kids or the kids are kind of like vlogging. And so they have some emotional moments.
Yeah,
but
it's sweet. But yeah. Not sweet, but sad.
But check it out.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it.
Thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard. And we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way is not the only way. Find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook and Twitter at The Clown Car and email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. So make sure you subscribe.
Subscribe.
Rate. And
review.
Our show on iTunes. Until next time.
Enjoy your circus. You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.